structured then, and you have, and when I talk about change today, I'm talking about not just correcting. I can correct you, but that doesn't change you. Mm-mm. You know, we correct people a lot, but that doesn't change them. That might, you know, have some effect on whatever situation they're going through, but that doesn't change them. Even since we've been in God, there have been many things that we've done in the house of God in places people have been corrected. It hasn't changed you. You know, and so when we talk about changing people, changing things in people's lives, we are talking about shaping and molding. Mm-hmm. Not just correcting. Correcting you doesn't necessarily change you. You get a speeding ticket and you don't like the speed limit. I've had many, and you still speed when you can. You know, do the things that you know, things that you are. So God has a tremendous task of changing us to be in His image, or in the image of His image, which is the image of Jesus Christ. And the reason why is because we're not all just saying, "Yes, Lord, change me," and we're doing everything. And even when we say, "Oh Lord, please change me. I want to be like Jesus. I want to be like Jesus." And as soon as the Lord shows up and shows you how to be like Jesus, you say, "Well, I don't mind that part. I don't mind being like Jesus to a." And then we figured out, I don't mind being like Jesus to a
degree.
Yeah, same thing. But then, you know, I'd like to keep a lot of me. Never mind that me is poison to me. Never mind that all of me is poison to me. But any part of me that God says needs to be changed is poison to me. Because if it was not poison to me, God would not have you change it.
Yeah, that's right.
And it rubs you wrong, you know. And the poison starts, and you know it's poisonous because the first place it shows up is in your attitude. It changes your manner, your state of mind. You don't like anybody talking about that. And the things that we see in God, the things we see in the Word of God or by the Spirit, when it irritates you to hear about them again, that's something you really need to put on the altar. I mean, that's like an open gaping sore. That's something, you know, when you can see it in the Word of God and you know the Word of God is right, and it still irritates you. You know how we have habits? We know we have them, but we don't like anybody to bring them up.
Right, yes.
Well, they wouldn't bring them up if you didn't still have them. You know. Ellen Smith called me lazy the other day. She's telling you, I hate being lazy. You know what I hate about it? I hate it more than people realize. I do. So if there's one character, one thing in your character that you pray and ask God to change all the time, that's one of them.
Yes.
To work that out. I wish I was one of these eager beaver type A people who yes. just got things done all the time and
yes.
did everything, you know. But the point of it is if God hadn't worked His will in me, I wouldn't be where I am.
Amen.
I'm far more lazy And the me without God is far lazier than the me with God.
Yes, that's right.
You know, who else is honest? The you being nasty is far worse than you being nasty with God, you know, having God. The new improved you ain't great with God. Look where you start. Look where you had to stop. I mean, you know, from the elementary level, elemental level. But the thing about God that makes Him dependable is that God is perfect and God is right, and there's never any need for Him to change. Mm-hmm. And because there's never a need for God to change, we can't depend on God. Mm-hmm. We can't depend on God. Just like, you know, when we fall in, you know, when we do something that's contrary to God, I don't like to use, I don't mind using the term fall into sin, but I don't use it a lot because usually when people use the term fall into sin, they're talking about you fell into some
you know, fornication, adultery, you falling into drugs, liquor, and all that, and that is true too. But we can be, we can do some things that are contrary to God, and they are transgressions, and they are sins that are that we don't. That we don't consider in the same category, but they're sins nonetheless.
That's right.
They separate you from God. In other words, they put a. It's like when a parent is angry with a child, or you're angry with a sibling, or angry with people at work, or whatever. There's this big thing between you and them.
Yes.
That keeps you from being able to be all right with them, and as we say in the Bible, in fellowship with them, on accord with them, but stops you from being, you know, in a friendly, harmonious relationship with them, or whatever it is, until that thing either is resolved or we are able to push it into a corner someplace where it's not between us. It hasn't necessarily gone away, but we're getting around it. And the idea, really, it would be better if you got rid of it.
Mm-hmm.
We're that way with God, too. But even when we do that with God, we know without a doubt that if we will come to God, He will not say to us, "I'm not ready to hear you yet."
Yes.
And what you did was so horrendous, I'm not sure I want to forgive you for that. We depend on Him no matter what. And for people who don't know this, this is what makes people fall out of fellowship with God and say, "Well, you know, I did so bad. I just quit living holy. I just went on about my business because I wouldn't do it right. I wouldn't all this." It's because you don't understand that God doesn't change. When He says that He would prefer that you not perish, but that you would repent, He always means it.
Yes, yes.
And when He says, if you'll confess your sins, He's faithful and just to forgive you your sins, and the blood of His Son cleanse you from all unrighteousness. That's always true.
Amen.
Well, you show up and you want the Lord to forgive you, and they say, "Oh, haven't you read the latest? You haven't read the 2022 amendment to the Bible?" Oh, you know, God only forgives you, you know, so many times. And, your grandfathered in, so we'll give you a few extra tries. But after this, you know, yeah, the blood is getting kind of polluted. So now you only have, you know, so many opportunities for the blood of Jesus to be applied to you. Wouldn't that be something? You've ran out of your chances for the blood of Jesus to be applied to you. God, you know, you've used all your grace points.
Not three strikes you
have. Used all your grace points. You know, you're going to have to do some good deeds to build up some mercy points.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be something? You're going to have to. Yeah. Grace and mercy are free. Always has been, always will be.
Yes.
Access to the blood of Jesus is free. Always has been, always will be.
Amen.
God's forgiveness. God is forever waiting to forgive. And, you know, if you will, He's a kind and compassionate God. If you will ask Him to forgive you, He always has forgiven. He always will.
Amen.
It depends. The issue of whether God forgives or not is you.
Yes.
Me.
Yes.
It's not God. God is willing and ready and well, you know, and willing to help, to lift you up. If you're down and you want to be brought up, God is always there to lift you up.
Yes, amen.
He's always there to lift you up. But what you don't like about God changing, about God's changing to lift you up, is God, when He lifts you up, He always establishes a firm foundation. He does all His lifting, all His deliverance, He does this on a very firm and lasting foundation. And you don't always like the foundation that He's building.
Right, yeah.
Anybody here ever had a deep cleaning? I'm going to be in Ephesians today, as a matter of fact. And in Jeremiah, Ephesians, the second chapter. Anybody here ever had a deep cleaning? I mean, does anybody know what? Anybody ever have periodontal disease in their teeth?
Mm-hmm.
I've had it.
Yeah.
Anybody on the screen ever had periodontal disease?
Yes.
Well, good for you. But it's when you get bacteria and stuff down in your gum, below your gum line in your teeth.
Yes.
And the decay is below the gum line. And you have to go to an oral surgeon and they do a deep cleaning. They actually put you to sleep to do it. Or they really do some serious numbing, because they actually separate the gum line from the teeth and go down in there and scrape all of that out. It's a deep cleaning.
Yes.
Until then, you go to the dentist and they do the normal cleaning that they do, which is greater than you cleaning with your toothbrush. But you don't get any of that stuff.
Right.
That causes this disease down that's down in there. And when you do a deep cleaning, your mouth is really sore when everything wears off. They give you some painkillers or whatever. Because they've really, and it's bloody, and they've really gone in there and done a work. Well, who wants to do that?
No, nobody.
Yeah. But if you're going to have healthy teeth and you get there, if that's the state of you, then that has to be done.
Yes.
Sometimes God has to go in us and do a really deep cleaning.
Yes.
That's what you don't want.
Right, yes.
That's what you dread. That's the part. But you want him to deliver and you want him to lift you up. So since God always does things on a firm foundation, there's no need of building and trying to put crowns and things through your teeth if the roots are rotten out. Building a house on sand.
Yes.
So when we look at God, I'll go to my scripture. It's in I'm looking in Ephesians. Chapter 2. And it's the one that's, you know, that you know so well. We're saved by grace. But the scripture I want to go to today is about verse number 8. For by grace are ye saved through faith. Excuse me, that not of yourselves is the gift of God. God saved you by his grace, and you believed, and you can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God. God gives it to you. When the revelation of grace being a gift from God, you also, you know, there's a lot of things that the devil uses to keep you from coming to God and acting right in God and getting yourself right with God. Because, and believe it or not, what he uses to keep you from getting right with God is you. He gives you the impression that God rewards you or does everything because you've earned it. You have to earn this. You have to earn this in God and earn this. Because in ourselves, in the way we react with people have to earn our respect, earn our favor, earn our mercy, earn our forgiveness, earn, you know, everything, everything's reciprocal in our world.
Yes.
So folk have to really, you know, you gotta earn gotta get brownie points, as we call them, or whatever.
Yeah.
You don't have any brownie points with God.
Mm-hmm.
You belong to him all the time.
Yes.
Saint or sinner. He sustains your life all the time. Saint or sinner. He keeps you, you know, the sun shines on the just as well as the unjust. The rain falls on the just as well as the unjust. You know, all the time. God does it.
Yes.
You haven't earned anything.
Right.
He owes you nothing.
Nothing.
And his grace, his unmerited favor, his love for us is what he has decided and what he has taken upon himself, because he's a good God, a great God,
yes.
And he wants our greatest good. That's his whole purpose. Is, you know, for us, we're to his glory and to his honor to show that someone of their own free will worship him because he's the creator of all things.
Yes.
And his love and his mercy are everlasting and unending. Mm-hmm. And it's available. I didn't say you always have his mercy, because if you won't have God, you don't always have his mercy. You have it as long as you live, but then, you know, at some point that runs out.
Yes.
You have to... For his mercy to continue into eternity, you have to belong to God.
Yes, that's true.
Are you living by grace and mercy if you're breathing in the earth on this life? But for it to continue, in grace and mercy of God, you have to belong to God.
Yes.
So believe it or not, it has a limited time offer.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah,
that's right.
You expire knowing and having taken advantage of it. You know, you only have so much time. You know, there's so many things that have a statute of limitations. Well, your statute of limitations in God is your life.
Yes.
When that runs out, if you're not in God, then, you know, your grace and mercy for you ends.
It ends, amen.
And then comes, you know, so God works so hard to change us. He says, and verse number 4, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. For we are God's masterpiece. He created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do good things he planned for us long ago. We are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus. When the Lord saved me and I'm born again, and when we read in 2 Corinthians, you know, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. We're a new creation in Christ. In other words, we start afresh. We get when the Lord saves you and forgives you, you turn over a brand new leaf.
Yes.
You get a blank slate.
Yes.
And this thing that you don't like about God, don't be telling me what to do, God. Because he's trying to keep you from, you know, messed up one whole book. He's trying to keep you from messing up another one. You know, you've already tarnished and blemished every page you've written on. And now God is trying to keep you from doing it again. And because if there was nothing wrong with your old life, you didn't need a new one.
Yeah, that's a true.
Good point.
If there was nothing wrong with your old life, you did not need a new one. Right?
Right.
So he's trying to keep you from making your new life become your old life again. And so he's our work. We are his workmanship. And when I say this, and then I want to go back to the point I said earlier, I'm noticing this as I get older. I wish that I had become wisdomly older sooner in life. And if for everybody who's going to be a minister or everybody that's a pastor or whatever, I wish I had sought after wisdom and revelation in the spirit more so than the things that people see in the earth, positions and good sermons and this is and having great, you know, church this and that. You need all those things, but what I really needed from God was the wisdom and revelation, and I wish I had gotten that sooner.
Yes.
Because it only comes to me much later, you know, and some of you listen and some of you do not. That's fine. It only comes to me much later that there really is a difference between making a change and molding and shaping and mentoring, and there's a difference between that and simply correcting things.
Yes.
Correction might be a part of it, but for something to stay corrected, you must change it.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, for, you know, you correcting and adjusting and doing all those things might be a part of that. They is certainly a part of change, but it is not the same as change.
Right.
Because once you're corrected, you can you keep still doing the same thing. I corrected the situation, but it didn't change you.
Right, yes.
And God is not just interested in correcting. As a matter of fact, when God sees after a while that you're just not going to be correct, that correcting you is not going to help, he just backs off.
Yeah.
Kind of leaves you where you are. You just, you know, and hopefully where he leaves you, and it leaves you in a very weak position. Leaves you very weak. If you don't change your diet, it will leave you very weak.
Yes.
And leaves you very susceptible to being taken out of God altogether. That's the fear.
Yes.
That's the concern.
Yes.
That if you don't grow in God, you'll grow away from God.
God. Yes.
If you don't allow the Lord to work a change in you, and the only way God can, and so what we do as Pentecostal preachers, I see it now, we keep correcting you.
Mm.
We try to correct you.
Yes. Yeah.
Tell you when to come and when to go.
Yes.
How to be. Get in here. Da 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 da. Blah da 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 da. Don't bring that in here. Leave that on the parking lot. Da 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 da. We are always corrected. We are always correct.
Mm-hmm.
What we really need to do is ask the Lord for the Holy Spirit and the and the power and the wisdom to for the Spirit to move and effectively change you.
Change you, yes.
Change us.
Yes, yes,
change me. Rearrange me. Because as, until you're changed, you're going to have a problem with my correction. Yes, you are. Until the Lord changes you, you're going to always have a problem with God's correction.
Yes.
That's the reason why he says, whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth everyone that is the son.
Yes.
And if you will not have God's chastening, he says, you're all bastards. That's the word the Bible uses.
That's what it
says. It says you're not sons. And if you won't allow the Lord to change you so that you start to realize that you need heaven, that it's absolute, that hell is real, if you won't allow the Lord to change you so that you see the necessity of his grace towards you, his unmerited favor, how the Lord keeps you living even when you're sleeping, you aren't asking God, Lord, you don't wait, you don't run around every day saying, Lord, let me live, Lord, let me live. No, he's keeping you.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
How he delivers you out of situations and things you're in all the time. Where other people die, you don't.
Mm-hmm.
And God just keeps going. And his mercy is so great that the Holy Ghost still comes and says, why don't you ask God to forgive you? Who do you think is coming to you asking, telling you to ask God to forgive you? Sure ain't the devil.
No.
And the Holy Ghost shows up and he says, why don't you ask God to forgive you? Here comes up, he ain't going to forgive you. And you have to decide which one you're going to listen to.
Yeah.
And then he says to you, well, if you ask God to forgive you, it's going to cost you. It's going to cost you. It doesn't cost you anything for God to forgive you.
No.
What the devil is telling you is going to cost you for God to forgive you is the poison. It's going to cost you your poison.
Yeah.
So it's going to cost you. And I don't mind coming to y'all's church, but you know, I don't believe in it. I just can't deal with that. Can't drink no liquor now because, you know, I don't have a problem. The Bible says you can have a little wine. I don't mind coming to y'all's church, but you know, y'all got this thing about being married, and you know what? That's just a piece of paper. Two people love each other. I don't mind coming to y'all's church, but you know, y'all stay in church way too much. Y'all in church way too much. It don't take all that. No. I can serve God anywhere. That's one of the biggest lies the devil ever told anybody.
Right. Yes.
Yeah, it is.
Yes, it is.
So that's a lie. Yes, it's an absolute lie. If you don't have fellowship with the saints of God or with the people of God or with the Spirit of God, because the Spirit of God, the Spirit has believes in people being in fellowship and working together because we strengthen one another, encourage one another. And the only person who ever says, it is true, you can serve God anywhere. I'll yield to that and say that is true. But when the devil tells you that, it becomes a lie because he's telling you that so that you'll feel like you don't have to fellowship with the saints. It's just like when the devil told Eve, you shall not surely die in the garden. Well, she wasn't going to die that day.
No,
but it was a lie because the devil told her.
Yes.
It's going to happen.
And the devil will come up and tell you something that technically, literally, you can say, well, that's true. I can serve God anywhere. And then the Holy Ghost says, well, but will you?
Yeah,
and why would you?
Yeah, why would you? Yes.
I want everybody in here. Anybody in here? Eve on the screen. Anybody in here? I know I'm probably the only person who's ever been a sinner in the room. But anybody in here ever been to a party?
Yes.
When you're in sin?
Yes.
Anybody ever been to a party? Raise your hands. Put your hands up. Ever been to a party?
Yeah.
How many people were at your party? Now, I want you to tell me, the only person at my party was me. So how many parties you been to? 15, 20? Yeah. And how many? Just me. Always party by myself. Always. Why? So, why do you need us? I got to go somewhere. You know, it's Friday. I got to go somewhere and party. Why can't you just stay home and party? Why do you need anybody else? So why is it when it comes to being in God, I can serve the Lord anywhere. I gotta go to church. I just serve God. Because you don't have the Holy Ghost. You group yourself with people who have the same spirit.
Yes.
You join yourself with people who have the same spirit.
Yes.
Yes, you do.
Yes, you do.
Make no mistake about it. So then, when God comes along, when we're in God, we preachers, all of us, especially those Pentecostals, we just love correcting stuff. We have a whole manual written to correct stuff.
Yes.
I say change anything.
To correct it.
Correct things.
Yes.
If a pastor does such and such and such, correct it. Remove them. Bishop do such and such, correct it. Remove them. There's not one page written in that book that talks about how to change anybody. That's okay. I don't need it written in that book. I have it written in this one.
Yes.
This is how you change.
Change, yes. Amen.
And there's a difference in being corrected and
change.
Yes, so true.
And so he says in this, he says, and we are his workmanship. And I want to look at some scriptures for a moment. Again, let's see. Look them up this morning. Look in Isaiah. Isaiah 64 and 8. But now, O Lord, thou art our Father. We are clay and thou art our potter. We are all the work of thy hand. And yet, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay and you are the potter. We're all formed by your hand. Oh, Jeremiah 18 and 4. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter, so he made it again. 18 and 4. So he made it again, another vessel. It seemed good to the potter to make it. He doesn't just wipe out the mark. He made it again so that it was good. But what are you? Do you have a Bible? Why are you sitting back there without one? As long as you've been going to church, you know you're supposed to have a Bible somewhere. Come on, work with it.
All back there.
Nah, you can use this one right here. Work with it. Listen, you have to work with God. God presents everything, but you have to work with God. If you have to make up your mind. You need to see these. You need to read them yourself. You're able to read. Where are you at? Jeremiah what? 18. Jeremiah 18. But the jar he was making did not turn out as he had hoped, so he crushed it into a lump of clay again and started over. Sometimes you don't turn out right. You know what he has to do? What? He has to crush you and start you out all over again so that you get turned out right.
Amen.
You know, sometimes you can do something that just have a blemish and you can touch it up. And sometimes you just have to do the whole thing all over again. You have to start all over again. It just won't work. And God sometimes has to, you can be so marred until he just has to, he has to crush you and just start you all over again. What's another one? Jeremiah 18 and 6. O Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter, saith the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are you in mine, O house of Israel. O Lord, the Lord gave me this vessel. O Israel, cannot I not do to you as this potter's done to this clay? As the clay is in the potter's hand, so are you in mine. You know, and he's making this point among to us that we are his, those of us, I'm saved by grace. It's in this chapter. We're saved by grace. As he puts it, as he says it in here, are there any more that I want to look at? That's enough. Romans 9 and 21, I'll go to that one, I'll be the last one. Hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel to honor and another to dishonor? In other words, doesn't God have the ability to declare what is right and what is not?
Yes.
And then you can go back to Ephesians chapter 2. The last one, Romans. Romans 9 and 21. And then you go back to Ephesians chapter 2. Seven. That in ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us through Jesus Christ. 8. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast, not of us. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. So the Lord, the reason why I'm saved is not Vivian's working or Harvey's working. It's the Lord's working on me.
Yes.
You have no more honor as a vessel than you have allowed the Lord to shape you.
Yes.
I was looking at us. I always look at, I'm so different. I wish I had the wisdom when I was raising Antoine, when I was rearing Antoine and Chambers, as I do with Timaeus. I'm wiser now. And I look at how often he gets corrected versus how often he gets shaped.
Yes.
And molded. It's easy to tell somebody, sit down, move, go, da-da-da. It's different when you're trying to shape them and mold them so they sit down by themselves.
Yes.
So that it becomes a positive thing in them, so that they learn to, this is what I wish I was. God, I wish I was a greater pastor when I had a lot of people here. And then we jump up and preach. Don't be a ruler over the people. Well, if all we're doing is correcting, that's exactly what we are.
Yes.
Don't rule over the people. You're a shepherd. And then you turn around and all you do is don't come in here. No. You're not a shepherd. You're a ruler.
Yes. Dictator.
Maybe a good one.
Castro.
You know, you might be a good one, but you're ruling nonetheless. And even if you have some gentleness and some mercy, more effort has to be. Like when we look at our young people, that's the reason why people are doing mentoring programs. I like mentoring programs. I wish the churches did more mentoring. Mentoring means that you take somebody, you try and teach them and formulate them and get them to go in a certain direction. You are, as the Bible says, and what it says is. And we all know the scripture, don't we? Train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. Train him up. Not tell him how they should go. Make him go in that direction. Train something.
Yes.
Like we train our hair. We train our beard to grow in a certain direction. We train a tree to grow in a certain way. When a tree is leaning, we put a pole in it so it grows up straight.
Yes.
We train it. Train a vine. Train a lot of things. Train a dog to sit. Whatever. We don't train them as the Bible means. The Bible means, when it says train them, it means shape them in this.
Yes, right.
Not just lay out a law. You need to go to church on Sunday. No.
Let me show you.
We need to make this, put this in a way that it becomes their life. When Christ, who is our life. Is Christ your life?
Mm-hmm.
Or is he just something you do? Is God your life? Is God just somebody you obey because you...
Yeah.
You're not far from being superstitious.
That's right, yes.
I come to church just to keep the devil off my back.
Yeah.
Is that the only reason why you show up?
Mm-mm.
That's what a lot of people do.
Yes.
No matter what I do during the week, I go to church on Sunday because I need the Lord. Yeah, and you told the truth again.
Yes.
But you need to be in Christ.
Christ, yes.
Not just have him as an amulet. You know, as a lucky, God's just your lucky charm. I You know, something goes bad, I break out to Jesus. Jesus! You need to be in Christ.
Yes.
So when it says, train up a child in the way he should go, and I need to find that scripture real quick. When it says, train up a child in the way he should go, it's referring to, we need to, you know, and not, you know, and everything, not just children we're referring to here. We're talking about spiritual children too.
Yes.
In Proverbs 22:6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Direct your children into the right path, and when they're older, they will not leave. And this is not just referring to teach them to go to church. No. It is. Correction is necessary, but it needs to be a part of the shaping and molding and not the totality of it.
Yes.
It's just an aspect of it. It's a portion of it. But if you want the correction to continue, then there takes some molding and some shaping and some gradual, you know, and some things, don't y'all all know, doesn't everybody know, that some things that if they're wrong and you try to correct them too quickly, they'll shatter. For example, if you have a glass that is very, very hot, you need to cool it off. If you run cold water into it, what will happen? It will shatter.
Yes.
You have to give it a cool down.
Yes.
Period. You got to work with it. Or run hot water in it and gradually decrease the temperature of the water. But you got to work with it.
Yes.
And millions of other things. And I don't know why it took me so long to figure this out in church, or why we haven't figured this out. You can't train everybody so quickly. You break many of them.
Yes. That's true.
You break them.
Yes.
You break your kids if you're overly harsh. I look at us, we mean well. We're just gonna be just the world's greatest parents. We're not gonna tolerate this, we're not gonna put up with this, we're not gonna do that. And some things, there are some things, absolutely, make no mistake about it, you cannot tolerate for one moment.
Yes.
I always say two things kids have to wholly understand. They have to understand very quickly in life. Know and stop.
Yes.
They need to understand two words, and I mean without question. Know and stop. Not by no can I go to the carnival, but at 18 months, when I'm getting ready to pull something off the table, I need to be able to say to you, stop.
Stop. Yes.
Without explanation, and you need to know that means cease doing what I'm doing.
Yes.
Or if I'm getting ready to lift up a glass of Drano and I'm just toddling around the table, and you say to me, no, I need to
stop. Yes.
Without exception. And God is the same way. Some things are a no and a stop, but not everything.
Yes.
Some things are, that's not the way you do that. This is the way you do it.
Yes.
Am I telling you no and stop? I am,
yes.
But it is how I'm doing it. I'm making the adjustment here. And I'm on the learning curve because I'm not just doing a no and a stop. I'm changing your behavior. And the Lord says, if any man being me, he's a new creature. And he goes on down in Ephesians about old chapter number four, which you may or may not like a whole lot. And you like the portion where he goes in four, and he gave some apostles and prophets and evangelists, pastors and teachers, because everybody keeps saying, everybody's all of them, I'm going to be an apostle, I'm going to be an evangelist, I'm going to be all this. And to be any of them is great.
Yes.
But you can't be any of them unless you get the point down here in the lower part where it says that you're supposed to be, you know, put off the old man and put on the new man.
Yes.
You can't come, we can't all come in unity until you get that part. 17. This I say, therefore, and testify of the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not after as other Gentiles in the vanity of their mind. The first thing he's saying to them is, you know what? The first thing I'm going to have to say to you is, and you're not going to like it, but I'm going to tell you, you have the wrong mind.
Yes,
that is true.
You're not going to like it, but before I even start, why would I bother to say to you that you need to, your mind needs to be adjusted? I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Why do I need to do that? Because I'm not trying to correct you, I'm trying to change.
Change you, yes.
You need to allow the Lord to effectively change you. Your struggle, my struggle, anybody struggling, God, it's not just resistance to God, it's resistance to change.
Right.
That's what we don't like. That's what we're having a hard time with. And he keeps saying, but you're destroying yourself. You're destroying yourself.
Yes.
You run the risk of being out, you run the risk of not making it in. That's difficult. It's, that's dangerous. That's poison to you. That's that diminishes you. That does so many things to you. You won't eat right. We're trying to work and get Tomasi eat better. He's improving. You won't eat right. You won't eat right. Coming to church, and that's another thing about being in the assembly among the saints. When they come, and I'm the pastor, I need to feed you.
Yes, yes.
And not just give you what I like.
Not all chocolate.
Give you what I like. No, give you what I
like. I'm a Christian.
Give you what I
like.
Wait, okay, I got you. But I like chitlins, so everybody in here going to eat chitlins.
Yes.
I don't like chitlins. You want to eat them, you're going to eat them. You live in my church, you want to eat chitlins.
Yes, you're
Isn't that the way we do it?
Yeah, how you do it.
Yeah, it is. I like having service for 5 hours at a time. You won't be in this church and you got the Holy Ghost, you won't sit here for 5 hours. That's because that's what you like.
Yes.
I have a wife, I have kids, I have a job, they have school, we have all these things going on. And the Holy Ghost, if he can change me from mortal to immortal in a twinkling of an eye, surely he can bless me in less than 5 hours.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen. Surely. Yes.
Don't y'all think so up there on the screen?
Yes.
If the Holy Ghost can do all the work that he's doing, he saved me in a moment in a twinkling of an eye. Don't you think he's able to bless me in less than 5 hours?
Yes.
And if I'm here for 5 hours and all day like Jesus, if I'm going to be here for 5 hours, then you need to heal everybody in here and feed everybody in here.
Right.
Yes,
we need to see some serious manifestation of the Holy Ghost. And for 5 hours, I don't just need to see a headache or see somebody whose stomach hurts.
Yes. That's true.
I need more of a reward. If you're telling me I need to be here for 5 hours.
Yes.
Yeah, I do.
Yes.
Because it doesn't take God that long.
No.
But I'm on. But that's what I like.
Yes.
So you're going to have what I like. Because God told me, that's way for me. That's what I like. But you, the rest of us, to go home and you stay here in prayer for another 4.5 hours.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Well, that's what we're like with everything, isn't it?
Yes. Mm-hmm. That's true.
I agree, yeah. No parent wants their children to embarrass them. But embarrassing children in public is not always the thing to do.
No,
sometimes you have to roll with them. No. One time, and I hope they don't mind me telling you, but it is true because I thought it was one of the greatest acts of compassion I've seen in a long time. I was in England a long time ago, and y'all know Charles Pone and his brothers, Monarco and Robert. And Robert was sitting on the front row, and their father, who was Elder Javon Pone, Robert was sitting on the front row, and Robert fell asleep. He was about 10? No, less than that. Wasn't that old. He was a kid. Fell asleep. And he wet himself. And his dad just got up very quietly. Service didn't even stop. His dad just got up very quietly and very gently. When he realized what he was doing, I think somebody pointed out to him. His dad got up very quietly and eased up behind him and just lifted him up and took him out.
Yes.
I thought that was wonderful.
Yes.
And then at the end of the service, they came back and he was in there cleaning up, you know. To my knowledge, he never got screamed at. He never got anything.
Yes.
Because that wasn't something he planned to do.
Yes.
How dare you embarrass me like that? Like you can't get up, go to the bathroom. What's wrong with you? We do that.
Yes, we do.
Yes.
Yes, we do. Use your fork.
Yeah, you should use a fork, but come on, let's make it nice. You know, you're concerned about you.
Yes.
I ain't have nobody in this church doing such and such. Why not? If God sends them, you'll have anybody he sends.
Yes, yes.
And then it'll be up to the Holy Ghost and God and you to shape them and
mold them.
Shape them and mold them.
Yes.
He says in this, in 22. But ye have not so learned Christ. In other words, he says, in the verses above it, he says, who have being past feelings have given themselves over lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. They have no sense of shame. They live for lustful pleasures and eagerly practice every kind of impurity. He's talking about my past life.
Mm-hmm.
He says, you didn't see anything in Christ that reflected that. Now you need to, what we need to do is we need to look at our life and see if we have anything in our life that we don't see in Christ anywhere. He says, you didn't learn this from Christ.
Yes.
And he's perfect.
Right.
He says, you didn't see this in Christ anywhere. Yes. He says, the disciples ran up one day and said, these people aren't listening to you. We need to call down fire. He says, but Jesus said, no, that's not what we do.
Yes.
Because we burn them up, how are we going to save them?
Yes.
You know, we crush them, how are we going to save them? He says, my mother and my sister and my brother met one day and they didn't like the way I was having service. They thought the people were making a fool out of me and told me to come out. But I was obeying God. And, you know, and I didn't mind being, you know, someone that people thought was strange or whatever for the sake of Christ. I was doing what I needed to do. And I was all right with that. He says, my brothers one time who didn't believe that I was the Son of God, they tried to get me to go up to Jerusalem and say, well, if you're such a great preacher, why don't you go preach in Jerusalem? He said, I didn't worry about that either. And I didn't rebuke them. I just told them I'll be up a little later. He said, I didn't argue with him about any of that. He said, I didn't let my mother, my brother, my sister disturb my service. I just said, well, you know, all of you who are listening, you're all of my family. And I finished teaching. And then I went on back to my mother, my brother, my sister. And I didn't go outside and say, hey, look, do y'all realize I'm in the middle of trying to preach and teach you? He says, I knew how they were. You know, and they had to see the light in me.
Yes.
I'm a light. What does a light do? It shows you things.
Yes.
I'm the light. I'm showing you how you're supposed to be. I'm shining in darkness because everything you don't understand about God is darkness. When we're supposed to be a light to our children, we're a light.
Yes.
And whatever color light we are, red light, green light, yellow light, whatever color light we are, they see the reflection of some light.
Yes.
And then if you have no light and your way in your life is darkness, they see the darkness.
Yes.
That's true.
Yes.
They see that too.
Yes.
Yes, they do. And if there's darkness all the time, then that becomes the norm.
Yes.
That's normal for them.
Yes.
That's life as they see it. The Jewish believers, Jesus wrote in one place, he talked about them, and the Jewish people in the temple, and he said, even their light is darkness.
Right. Yes.
And he says, how dark is their darkness? Because even what they know that they think is light is wrong. So they're doubly wrong. And you can be in a situation where even what you think is great wisdom and great knowledge and great light. You're wronging that, and you're giving that as light, and that's darkness. How dark is that darkness? Jesus wrote in one place. So that's doubly wrong. We need to look at that scripture?
Yes.
I also said we need to turn it up, but okay. Got to trust the iPad out here, ladies and gentlemen. Look them up real quick. Let's see. It's in Matthew 6:23. And it starts in 22. It says, the light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. Your eye is like a lamp that provides light to your body. When your eye is healthy, Matthew 6:22 is where I am. Your whole body is filled with light. It's okay, you'll get it. But when your eye is unhealthy, in 23, but if thine eye be evil or unhealthy, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. And if therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is the darkness? But when your light is unhealthy, your whole body is filled with darkness. And if the light that you think that you have is actually darkness, how deep is that darkness? And there's a date reference that I like on this one. It's on verse number 23. And it says, full of evil. And he says, to the Jews in the evil eye, he talks about that. But there's another one that I like, and perhaps it's in one of the other ones, where he says that they have double blindness because even the light that they have is darkness. Let me look where he says it in another place, but I want that reference. Let me look at Luke 11 and see if that's the one. I know I read the reference for it. It's in Matthew 6:34. I must have read another commentary, but I'll tell you what it says and what it means, because it's basically saying if what you think is right is wrong, then you're twice as wrong. That's what it really comes down to. If what you have, the knowledge you have, how many people in here, and we're older, how many of us in here, and it might take you a moment to think about it, but when you think about it, there's something that you know, that you knew, that you thought to be, probably not Damascus and Zakur, they're probably not old enough, but among us older people, something that most of your life you thought was real and right. Mm-hmm. And then you find out, you know what, that's not true.
Lots of things, yes.
And you base a lot of things on it.
Yes.
Sometimes people do that in the Bible. I know somebody who runs around saying all the time, in business be as men. The Bible says, in business be as men. That's not in the Bible anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
But to that person, that's life.
I know another one.
What's the other one?
Healing is the children's bread.
Oh, healing is the children's bread.
Not scripture, just in the commentaries.
Yeah.
Yes.
But the one, in business be as men, I hear that one a lot. The Bible says, in business be as men. No, I mean, the Bible doesn't say that anywhere. But you base yourself on that.
Yes.
And then there's just things, like I say, in life that we've learned growing up at some place, and we thought, you know, this is with it. I can't think of it. I wish I could bring one to mind real quick. It's been a long time. But and then we find out that all this time we thought that. Another one is Noah preached for 120 years.
Yeah, right. Yeah, they always say that. No.
You know, 120 years. That's not true. Noah's son was 51 when they came out of the ark. He was a grown man when they started building the ark. So 20 or 30 years was the most it took to build the ark, if that. But there are other things in life, and I can't think of any. I know one. one big one is I grew up thinking that you can drink liquor and be saved.
Yes.
They can't drink liquor and be saved. No.
No.
So why not? Why not, Bishop Smith? Because people are into wine and everything these days, and a little wine or whatever. Because wine alters your state of mind.
Yes.
Alcohol alters your state of mind. I encourage all young people, stay away from alcohol. We talked, stay away from marijuana, stay away from that too. Whatever alters your state of mind, even prescription drugs that you have to take when you're in pain, they do nothing to stop the body from hurting. What they do is they make you not aware of it.
Yes.
That's all painkillers do. They don't kill any pain. No. They don't heal anything.
Think.
Be very wary of any doctor that you go to when you have a persistent pain and he doesn't care about the pain. He just keeps trying to give you painkillers. You need to find out what's hurting you.
Yes.
But they alter your state of mind.
That's right.
There's so many things that we feel like it's all right with God to do. It's all right with this. And Jesus was telling the Jews, he says, even a lot of the knowledge that you have. So what was that they had, Bishop Smith? The Jews were strictly under the knowledge that nobody could be saved except by bringing animal sacrifices. They wholeheartedly believed that. They had no knowledge of how anybody could be saved and not bring an animal sacrifice. They had got to the point where the animal sacrifices were no longer just representative of Jesus, but they were saved by the sacrifices themselves.
Yes.
And so when Jesus comes along, his point to them is you're telling people there's no way they can possibly be saved without animal sacrifices, and I'm telling you that the sacrifices represents me, and after I have died and been raised again, they're not going to have to do that anymore. And they had a problem with that. And anything like that. All right, let me get back, because it's almost time to finish now. Change. So I want to encourage everybody. I'll recap now. God sends the Holy Ghost to abide in us, and the reason why he talks about it in John, he says when the Holy Ghost comes, he's going to correct you.
Yes.
He's going to reprove the world of sin. He's going to correct you. He's going to tell you what is sin, what's wrong.
Yes.
And he's going to reprove the world of righteousness. He's going to tell you what is right. And he's going to let you know, he's going to reprove the world of judgment. He's going to let you know the consequences of both sin and righteousness. And he says his evidence is because the prince of this world has already been judged, and you see what happened to him. Then he says in this, and he's going to abide in you. And he's going to work very hard to make you, you know, he's going to change you into a new creature. And then he's going to teach you how to no longer be like you were. He's going to shape you and mold you. Remember I said before, correction is part of shaping and molding, but it's only a part. If you do everything, if all you do is correct people, you're not changing them.
Right.
You're changing the situation, but you're not changing them. You're fixing it for the moment. But God doesn't just desire to fix my situations. He wants to finish it.
Me.
Yes. He wants to fix
me.
And that takes time and patience. That's what a lot of us, especially Pentecostal preachers, don't get. Don't do that. Don't do that. Go do this. Go do that. No, I'll do that while you're watching, but I'm going to get tired of that after a while. You need to have some patience with me like God does. And when you say to me, that's not the right thing to do, you need to spend some time and say to me, you know, this is a problem. This is, and not give me a lecture. Don't do that, because if you do that, you still aren't helping.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I need to be renewed in my mind. I need a change of mind concerning this. I'm a new creature. I need to fit in what this new creature is supposed to do.
Right.
And this is what God says I'm supposed to do. So he says when the wisdom that comes from God is first of all pure. In other words, he has my greatest good in mind. But then it's kind and it's easy, it's gentle.
Yes.
Because I've got this piece of clay, and I'm trying to make it, you know, and shape it into what I need. Mm-hmm. And I can't just, bam, throw it on the table, and it comes out to be a jug. I got to work with it.
Yes.
This clay is not going to make itself into a jug, no matter what. It's like, be a jug. Be a, you, it's time for you, it's clay. It's time for you to get up and be a jug. It doesn't work like that.
Right.
How dare you look like that jug? Nobody's going to. No, how dare you? No, you have to take time. God takes his time and works it and goes back. Mm-hmm. And since God is perfect, he knows what perfection is. And if it's not to perfection, then he works it some more and needs it some more. And that's what he's doing in us. He's working and needing us. And when we're raising up our kids and doing all the things we're doing, it's not just telling them what to do and the right way to do it and work this out or whatever. When you see a shortcoming or a flaw, we need to be like God.
Yes.
God doesn't throw us under the bus for everything we don't get right.
Yeah.
He takes time and says, you know what? I see this about me. I told you, I'm a long time piece of work. I mean, God, you don't talk about a piece of work. I am a piece of work. God has had to work long and hard with me. He says, since you've been saved, no, all my life. And it was not just a matter of God has not worked to correct me. God could correct every wrong thing I do by simply letting me die.
Yeah, right. Amen.
That would end all the things I do wrong.
Right.
And for you too. Just let you die and you stop being wrong. You stop being the sinner, you stop being anything. But he chooses to change me and mold me and shape me. And surely enough, I've done enough things that God ought to have been angry about, tired of, mad about, lose patience about, and everything else. How many times I got to tell you that? Till I get it, I guess. What if God said to you, how many times I got to tell you that? Didn't we go over this before?
Yes, we did.
Is that what the Lord does to us?
No.
He doesn't. He starts all over again. Okay, let me show you again. Let's do this again. Why? Because it's not as important to God. It is important to God. It's not as important to God that I get it right, but that I become right.
Right.
Yes. It's not an issue to God that I get this right. It is that I become
right.
It's not an important. It's not that I learn how to do what you want done, but I become the person that you're trying to get me to be.
Yes.
That's where God is. That's why he gives us the Holy Ghost. That's where we miss the point. We're so busy doing. And when James says, show me thy works and I'll show you a faith, he's not referring to our works as in, oh, I'm a good, zealous, God-fearing Christian. I do this, I do this. That's not the works he's referring to. He's referring to the working in me that God has worked, his faith has worked in me, so that when I move, when I breathe, when I, as he says, have my being, it shows because I am the workmanship of God.
Yes.
I'm his handiwork.
Yes.
I'm his craft. You can look at me. It's like an oil painting that art experts look at and say, this is a Monet. Really? I don't see a name, but they recognize
the work.
Yeah. This is a Da Vinci.
Yes.
That's a Raphael. That's a Michelangelo. They know.
Yes.
You're supposed to be able to look at me and say, this is of God.
Right.
He's of God. Yeah. She's of God. Now, the way you handle it, it's like I was telling you about El Capone. God rest his soul. The way he handled that was the Lord. I know someone else.
Yes.
Who would have cut the monkey fool? I do.
Yes.
Because he embarrassed him. You can look at the way people do things and you know, now they have the Holy Ghost.
Mm.
They're moving in the Spirit. maybe not in everything, but in that situation.
Mm-hmm.
We have to understand from God. Remember this always. God isn't trying to just correct you or me. He's trying to change us.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
This correction, God has all power. Correcting me, you're going someplace you have no business doing. All God could turn the world around backwards if He wanted to and back you up.
Yep, yes.
You know, there's so many ways of stopping you from being wrong. And I always say death, that's absolute, but God can stop you so many different ways.
Right.
Really.
Yes.
But that's not what He wants to do. He wants you to, as the Holy Ghost, when the Holy Ghost comes, as the Holy Ghost moves, when the comforters come, God wants you to see both what's not right about it and what right is.
Yes.
And at the same time, He wants you to see what happens if it's not right and what happens when it is. And for everything we do among ourselves, especially as we're trying to disciple other people as they come to the Lord, it's not just an issue of correcting their behavior. It's changing them. Not doing something. It's not what God has gotten me to do. It's what God has gotten me to be. I am what I am. Just do this. I am that. I am it so much that when I don't do what the me of me is, immediately I know I'm wrong. It doesn't take anybody to tell me, because it's not for me. It's like I come in here one day wearing high heels and a dress. Hey, everybody,
what's wrong with you?
That would be so wrong. But to some people, it's not.
Yes.
Well, that's what He wants to wear. No. That would be wrong forever.
Forever, yeah.
For me, right. Might not be for you, but...
Yes.
You know, to have a mindset on some things, it is going to always be... And we count on that among our children. That's the reason why... That's how we trust them. That's how we trust them. Someone comes and says, Dakota did such and such. Her mother was there. No, she didn't. If she was in that situation, there had to be a whole lot of other stuff going on. Because I know to court, that is not her.
Yes.
That's what you say. That's not the masses. Might have done this and that and that, but didn't do that. Why not? That's not Paul. No. If that's totally out of character for Elder Reed. Because it's the person that you are. We need to be that way in God. So God doesn't have to keep changing us every other week, you know. Correcting us every other day. Instead of being under the guidance and leading of the Holy Spirit, so I'm walking along beside God. It's like we're on a leash, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's like we're on a leash. Does the Lord have to keep you on a leash?
No.
Yes, he does.
Yes, he does.
Got you on a leash.
Yeah.
Come back here. Come back here. Some of us not only need a leash, we need a muzzle.
Yeah.
Old lady walking her dog the other day, he had a muzzle.
Yeah.
I guess he bites people.
Yes.
And she, some of us don't only need to be on a leash. And then every now and then you see a dog with a collar, with a thing around the collar like this, so they can't. You know, some of us, you know, we're not only on a leash. God got you on a leash. That's not what's supposed to happen, is it?
No.
Isn't this just a gamble? We're not supposed to be on a leash. We're supposed to be able to walk with God. And He walks with me, and He talks with me. And it's the difference between people who make their children do things and the people who talk to their kids.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And He tells me I am His own. That's the best relationship we're supposed to have. All right. I guess I'm through for this morning. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
There is a difference between, if you got nothing else this morning in summary, there's a difference between correcting people and molding people, mm-hmm. mentoring people, shaping people.
That's true.
That's what God does. Yes. That's the kind of God that we have. God correcting us would be no problem for God. And I keep saying it because I want everybody to get that. The next time you feel like God's always trying to tell me, God correcting me would be no problem for God. Really. He didn't want me to go someplace, just paralyze me. Mm-hmm. Don't want me to say anything, just let me not be able to speak.
Exactly.
It's just, you know.
That's right.
This isn't what God's trying to do. Correction is involved, but what yes. He really wants me to do is be changed.
Change, yes.
Remember, He wants me to serve Him of my own free will. He wants me to serve Him of my own free will. He wants me to serve Him of my own free will. If everything God gets for me is because it's by force, I'm not serving Him of my own free will. God, make you come to church, make you pray, to make you, you know, that's not free will. That's coercion.
Yes.
He wants me to serve Him of my
own free will.
Everybody stand. Praise the Lord. Time to give me four, please. Or is it turned off? I love Him forever with all my heart. I love You forever. You're my King. Father, we come before You in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank You for Your goodness and Your mercy. And Lord, we thank You for health and strength, and we thank You for Your great grace and Your great Holy Spirit, O God. We thank You for the Word of God and for the Spirit of God, for Your leading and for Your guiding. Lord, we thank You, for Lord, You are the universe's greatest mentor, among yes. other things, and the universe's greatest father and parent. Lord, we thank You so much for how You brought us and how You work Your will in us and how You change us, O God. But Lord, change is lasting, O God. Lord, we ask You to lead us and guide us in the way that You would have us to go. And even so, Lord, give us Your mind.
Give us Your mind.
Lord, write upon our hearts, Lord, the way of the Lord. Lord, by the Holy Spirit. Give us Your mind and Your emotions, O God. Lord, Your desires, Your affections. Lord, change our mind and our affections and our desires to be like Yours, O God. Give us Your purpose, Lord, Your will, Your plan. Lord, let us love Your way and Your will and Your plan, O God. Lord, glorify You, O Lord, to the highest, O Lord. Lord, be with us. And Lord, move in us by the precious Holy Spirit. Lord, move within.
Yes.
And work within us, Lord, the character of the new man, Lord, that's created in Christ Jesus, O God. Remind us, O Lord. Work within, O God. We would become the new man and the old man yes. would be put away, O God. We would be changed, yes. O Lord.
Amen.
Change us now, Lord, so that we'll be changed later.
Yes.
Lord, change us now. Yes. Change our minds and our way now.
Yes.
Lord, so that You'll change our bodies later, O God.
Yes.
Change us now.
Change us now.
Lord, we ask You to come in and we yield unto You. Lord, we reserve nothing.
Yes.
Lord, we lay ourselves upon Your altar, Lord, a living sacrifice. Lord, deal with us, Lord, as seemeth right unto You, Lord, for the way of the Lord is right. Your way is right. Your way is perfect, O God. And Lord, bring us to a reality, Lord, where we know that God is right and Him is right, Lord, and Him is light and no darkness at all, O God. Lord, truth and grace. In the name of Jesus. Lord, we ask You, Lord, for the manifestation of the Holy Spirit today in the Word of God. Stretch forth Thy hand and heal.
Yes.
Touch Elder Rogers. And touch Elder Jenkins, O God.
Yes.
Touch Elder Thompson, O Lord. And Elder Sewell, O Lord. And all those. Elder Russell. Lord, touch Elder Russell. Say in the Lord, rebuke You.
Yes.
Loose Your hold in the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray, Lord, loose Elder Russell from all
yes.
these
Lord,
afflictions.
Yes.
Lord, that are coming upon him in the name of Jesus.
Yes.
Lord, lift her up and heal her and give her perfect soundness and set her up in Jesus' name. Raise her up in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Lord, all those who have any afflictions, bishop, leave. All those who are going through in these mortal bodies, Lord, I pray, Lord, give them a foretaste of eternity, a foretaste of heaven, O God. Heal them, a foretaste of immortality, O God. Heal these bodies. In the name of Jesus. Lord, make changes for others. Change their minds. Change their way around. Change their environment. Change their schedules. Change everything, Lord, that hinders them from being in you. Lord, I pray, Lord, move mighty by your spirit and by your power, Lord. Stretch forth thy hand, Lord, move in ways that people think not. Lord, show them that you're the true and living God and that you have all power. Lord, prove to some that you have all power. Show them that you have all power, O God. Move in them, Lord, by the presence of the Holy Spirit. Lord, move. Lord, there are many who doubt your power and doubt your way. Lord, I pray, Lord, you move and show them, Lord, that power belongs to God. Lord, we'll glorify your name. Lord, bless this church and add to our number.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, move through this block by the power of God. Sweep over us, O God, as you swept over Egypt, O Lord, in so many different times. And Lord, change men's minds. And Lord, give them a, Lord, open their eyes that they would see a need for God. Lord, give people a need for you.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, they need you, but they're blind to it. Lord, open their blinded eyes, O God. Lord, the devil has blinded their minds so they don't see a need for you, Lord. Lord, how dark is their darkness? Lord, open their eyes. Lord, that they would see they need you, O God. In the name of Jesus, even among the saints of God. Lord, show them, Lord, move so they know they have a greater need for God. Lord, let them know how precarious it is, Lord, to live on the edge. Lord, call them to draw nigh unto thee, O God. Lord, draw me nigh unto thee. Lord, we'll glorify your name.
Yes.
Lord, we'll give you all the glory. We'll give you all the honor. We'll give you all the praise. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the people of God say amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Give the Lord a hand. You can be seated.